Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's so good to see all of you this morning. We are so glad that you're with us as we've gathered together on this third Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome all of you and so glad that we are able to gather together and worship and not only make space for Christ's presence, but also to make ourselves present for Christ. And that's why we've been talking about a little bit in our series on the church. And today we'll be talking about another one of those as how does the church make space for Christ and God's presence. So as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father. And to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Come, let us worship our God with joy and thanksgiving.
Everything in us says, praise the Lord.
Give thanks for God's steadfast love.
We praise you, O God, for Christ's
unfailing love. Sing of the ways of God.
We sing with gratitude and joy.
Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Well, let's join together and sing and worship this morning as we sing that hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, 599, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning.
Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, your tents will be our home. Through days of preparation, your grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, or roar of sounding drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er your face appears. Your cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
I always loved that hymn so much. I found it this week, and I thought, boy, it goes a lot with what I've been preaching on about what the church is supposed to be in our world today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer this morning. God of overwhelming mercy, you have claimed each generation of people as your family, heirs of your grace. Wave upon wave of your endless light sweeps over us. In this hour, enable us to open our hearts and receive your gifts, that we may minister to the least of these as you lead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated, and we're going to turn to our next hymn, 514, I Need Thee Every Hour. You can also follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need every hour in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless my Savior, I come to thee. Well, we can do our children's time. Does Caroline want to come down? Okay, let's see if she wants to come down this morning. Oh, yes, that's right. I missed him. Come on down. I'm sorry, I even saw you come in early. He got the ride up in the elevator, or, well, the lift, not the elevator. He thought that that was cool. Yes. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Huh? That's all right. That's all right. So we're going to talk about something today. Oops, I forgot to switch it.
Shoot. Let me switch it real quick, because I want us to look at this little verse here.
There's a little verse up here that the adults are going to be reading later on and talking about, and it has to do with helping people when they're hurting. So if you find a friend that needs a drink of water, what are we supposed to do? You don't know? Are we supposed to help them get a drink of water? We're not supposed to. If your sister needs a drink, are you going to help her get a drink? There you go. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Now, what about if somebody we know is hungry? Are we going to help them out? There you go. Yeah, we got some bologna in the fridge. We might have some cookies. Pizza. Wow. Hey, I better come over to your house. I'm kind of hungry. Jace always gives away popsicles to the neighbor kids when they come around and they're playing out in the cul-de-sac. Well, the reason I said that is because
Jesus told his disciples a story. And he, when he was telling it, he said that when we help somebody that is hungry, give them some food, or we give somebody a drink of water because they're thirsty, or they're sick and we go over and see them to make sure they're okay. He says when we do those kind of things, he says you're really doing it to him. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it? Why would he say that? What do you think Jesus would say if we help out somebody, even a stranger, that we're doing that for Jesus? You got a guess? You don't know? It is kind of a strange thing the way he talks about that. But I think Jesus was sharing that because he wants us to know that when we help out others, we are making a difference in this world. And I think that's what he's saying there. And not only that, but it also helps us to be motivated that when somebody we know is hurting or sick or hungry, when we help them, yes, we are making a difference and we are helping others in that process. And it kind of motivates us to think about others, doesn't it? You know, probably when I was your age, I don't think I really ever noticed that kind of stuff. You know, as a kid, you don't always focus on those kind of things. But as I got older, that's when I started to notice it more. But because as kids, we don't even think otherwise. We just, if one of our friends is, can I get a drink? Sure, come on, you know, and we'll get you a drink, you know. It's no big deal. And I hope that we always keep that kind of a heart. Okay? All right, you guys can go back to your seat because we don't have our regular class in the summertime like we normally do. We take a break there. So we want to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share as we go to prayer this morning. Somebody this morning. Yes.
Okay, so we want to remember Trevor in our prayers, who needs a what? Yes, yeah. Trevor, who really needs a real miracle, battling cancer. And then Mr. Huff, who lost his barn and a whole lot of other things in that fire. And definitely want to lift them up at this time down there in the Cincinnati area. So someone else. Yeah.
Yes, a friend of mine, Karen Cupp, her husband, Keith, they just found a matching donor for a liver transplant. They're simply waiting for the date of surgery. So just prayers for Keith that he comes through that well and that he can, get back to normal.
Okay, so we want to remember Keith and the liver transplant. We're thankful that they were able to find a match.
Kidney.
Oh, kidney, sorry. Okay. So we want to remember Keith this morning about the kidney transplant, praying that everything goes well here whenever they do the surgery. And someone else. Well, we've got several. Go ahead, Becky. Yes, we definitely want to keep Bonnie in our prayers. We're thankful that she's home. I know she's glad to be home. Kathy said as soon as she got out of the hospital, and all, I don't know if we've even got home yet, but she wanted a cheeseburger and a Coke. And but she's going to be having surgery in July to remove the tumor. And so we want to ask for your prayers regarding that and all that's going to be involved there. And then is that what you were going to talk about? Are you okay? Go ahead, Kathy.
Emma Wilbrand is going to have chemo starting again tomorrow. Just keep her in your prayers. Just keep her in your prayers. She's been kind of sick with the chemo.
Yes. Okay, good. So we want to keep Emma in our prayers. Hey, would you fill out a little, do we have her on the monthly already? Okay, I thought there was an Emma. That's right, that's the younger, yes, okay. So we want to definitely keep, what's that?
That's Jody Dove's great-grandmother.
Yes, that's right. Okay, thank you for reminding me about that. We definitely want to keep her in our prayers and pray for strength during that time and the chemo does its work. Someone else, I thought I saw some other hands. Well, we thank God for that. Yeah, what a blessing there. Yeah, somebody else. Somebody else.
I just want to thank all of you for praying for me.
Yes, and we're so glad to see you with us again, Alice. And yeah, and it's a blessing to have her back with us in service. And so many others too, yes.
Nice to see Harry.
Yes, it is. It's good to see Harry back too. And we've been praying for him, and he's still healing up, and we're glad, and he'll get stronger, and continue to pray for Harry, too, and also Alice, both of them, continue to lift up both of them, so they're still recovering fully yet. Someone else, joys or concerns? Just wanted to share, although it's nothing official yet, I think Bruce is supposed to get the call here soon. But what we've learned so far, based on the report he got on the health app, is that the spots, the colon cancer spots on his lung, have either shrunk or stayed the same. So we are very thankful for that and praising God for that. And we'll probably know more when Bruce, which is Jody's dad, gets back together with the doctor about what they're going to continue to do and how they're going to handle it. And I don't know, he may have to have surgery on his colon. They may have to take out part of that section. But thank you so much for your prayers and appreciate your continued prayers for him. Anybody else then, before we move on to prayer? Well, let's go ahead then and go to our time of prayer. And as Linda plays this morning, there you can quietly pray for some of those names that come to your mind today. And then I'll close us out. Lord, it's always such a great privilege to be able to gather and worship, to sing, to give our praise, to give our thanks. But it's also a great privilege to be able to pray and lift up others in prayer that are in need during these times. And Lord, we're so thankful that you called us to be a church of prayer. And in different ways with our prayer group and the time that we take during the service, we're just so thankful that you are the God that answers prayers and in so many different ways. And today, as we lift up the different ones today, Lord, first of all, we want to lift up the Benzinger family. And Lord, we just ask for your grace and comfort and your peace today. And Lord, we're going to miss Tom, going to miss seeing his smiling face and his laughter. And Lord, we just pray for your hand to be with them in the next days here as we go through the funeral and all that's entailed there. And then the time to come after that. Lord, we also lift up Trevor to you, Lord, that it really needs a miracle, God, and we're just asking for your healing touch for that cancer in his arm and body, Lord, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, we lift up Mr. Huff and the loss of all this with this barn fire. And oh, Lord, we just pray for your peace today and your grace, and help that to all get worked out with the insurance and what's the loss of so much. Lord, we lift up Keith to you today, and we're grateful that they were able to find a kidney that matches, and we just pray that you'll guide and lead as they will be doing the surgery soon, and that everything will go well, and there won't be any rejection, and that there'll be a blessing on the other side because of that. Lord, we lift up Bonnie to you, God, and we're so thankful that she is back home, but Lord, we know she's still battling this with the tumor and the cancer in her throat area there. And God, we're just asking your continued healing touch on that tumor and healing and shrinkage. And Lord, as they do the surgery in July, that you'll just guide and direct and that they'll be able to get all of that out. We pray for healing in that throat area, Lord. And Lord, we lift up Emma to you, God, as she's going through another round of chemo. Lord, we just pray for strength and that your hand be with her and that there would be healing that takes place and shrinkage of tumors. And we're so thankful for that. And Lord, we're thankful for the good report that we heard on Bruce. And God, we just continue to lift up him and that the rest of those spots would completely disappear. And Lord, that you will guide and give wisdom to the doctors and surgeons as they make the decision about what else to the next step that needs to happen, and that you'll guide there for your best and for healing. And Lord, we continue to lift up Harry and Alice, God. We're just asking that your hand will be with them and that your continued recovery and healing strength will be upon their bodies. as we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to lift up our first responders and our medical and all of those that are working. Lord, we lift up those that are traveling this weekend. I know there's several that are not with us today in service, Lord, that are traveling this weekend. God, that you'll just be with them and bring them back this week as they come back to join us for next Sunday, and we're thankful today for that. And Lord, we're so grateful for all that you're doing, your blessing in our lives, and Lord, we're thankful for your presence with us. You said where two or three gather together, there you are in our midst. And so we ask that your presence will continue to lead and guide as we break the bread of your word. May you speak to our hearts and give us ears to hear, and minister as only you can do. Send us forth to be your servants, your hands and feet in the world, as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, this morning we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and we want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we are thankful that God is the one that provides and blesses us in so many different ways. And so this morning we have an opportunity to share of that blessing and further God's work in the world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, we offer this offering that the needs of your church may be met.
Receive and use them so we may be part of your great kingdom work in the world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from one passage. In fact, I think just in the last month so ago, it was in the it's one of the lectionary readings, I believe, of this year. This is a familiar passage to some of us, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to just read the first half of it, which is verses 31 through 40. So let's read it together there, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint. Now when the human one, or Son of Man, comes in his majesty, and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, a husband was sitting on the edge of the bed observing his wife turning back and forth, looking at herself in the mirror. Since her birthday was not far off, he asked what she would like to have for her birthday. Well, she thought for a moment and she said, "I'd like to be six again," she replied, still looking in the mirror. Well, on the morning of her birthday, he arose early and made her a nice bowl of Lucky Charms. And then he took her to the Six Flags theme park. What a day! He put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster roller coaster, everything there was. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the park together. Her head was reeling and her stomach felt upside down. He took her then to McDonald's, where he ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a chocolate shake. Then they were off to the movies, and they had popcorn and soda and her favorite candy, M&M's. It was a fabulous adventure. Well, finally, as they wobbled back into their house and she collapsed on the bed, and he leaned over to his wife with a big smile and said, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" And her eyes slowly opened, and her expression suddenly changed, and she said, "I meant my dress size, you dummy." And this is usually in my jokes, but there's a little line that says, the moral of the story is, even when a man is listening, he's going to get it wrong anyways. Oh, I'm glad my wife's at a baseball game this morning.
She might be amening me, that last part there. I want to talk to you about the church as a merciful community, a merciful community. Let me tell you a little story. So I was sharing a little bit with the kids, you know, and I said, sometimes when we're kids, we don't notice those kind of things. But then in the fall of 1984, I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in college in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The college that I went to, North Central University, was right in the heart of the downtown area. We had to take the buses, mass transit, to get down to the downtown city center. The first time I had ever rode on a bus like that ever in my life, because I was a country boy. Within weeks of being there, just walking down into that area, there were people everywhere, usually men, usually Native Americans, that were begging for something on the streets. And it was my real first encounter with what I want to call, at least in my heart and thinking, the least of these. Men that had lost their jobs, men that probably had some mental illness, men that were addicted to alcohol and a lot of other things. And in those moments of being there, there was two things that went on that was happening in my heart and mind at those, at first when that began to happen. One was fear, because I did not know. I had never experienced anything like that. I grew up out in the country. We didn't usually see that in Sydney, Ohio, or Anna, or any of those places, as many of you know. But then there was something else that began to happen in my heart. And that was compassion, and how my heart went out for these people that were hurting and in need, and how over the months and that year that God began to deal with me in a lot of different ways. And I'll never forget, to the day I die, I was standing in the bank waiting to get some cash out. It was like on a Friday. And I saw a gentleman come in that just looked like a mess. His glasses were thicker than Coke bottle bottoms, if you remember the old Coke bottles. And in that moment, I teared up and my heart began to go out for him. And in that moment, God spoke to me and said, if you're going to be my minister, you need to be able to be compassionate towards people with all of their needs. And God began to do a work in my heart from that time forward. Because in those moments and in those times, all I wanted to do was be able to try to help in some way. And each of my churches that I have pastored, there's always been needs that have arisen where the church and I as a minister have had opportunities to minister. Now, I want you to think for a minute. I want you to imagine a world where every person shares a kinship together. Just think about that for a minute. Because if you really think about it, I think we all desire more than anything else is kinship. Somebody to be there for us when we're hurting and when we're in need. Now, a lot of times we depend on family, but think about people that don't have family that can be there for them. Sometimes the church is all they have. Sometimes it's a stranger that is the only one that could be there for them. And the thing about God's kingdom and the church is we are all invited to participate in life together with God and one another as brothers and sisters. Our reading today reminds us of the importance of being a community of kinship and mercy. A community that responds positively to human need and suffering. And I know you've been there before. I know it. And the first time I heard this, it shook me and I thought, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Where I heard about people that you see begging Sometimes in places, sometimes you'll see it along 75 when you get off the off ramps. Sometimes you'll see it as you drive into parking lots. And I know down on Miller Lane, there's been three or four guys. They're there every time we go down. You go down to Sam's Club or down on Restaurant Row, you see the same guys there. And there's only one of them that I thought that really looked like he was homeless. And when we hear the story, and I heard this, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Where I heard story where somebody said, I know of somebody that makes $30,000 a year doing that. And then that makes you skeptical to be able to want to help anybody out. And so as we think about this being a community of kinship and mercy, a merciful community that responds positively to human need and suffering. As we look at this, I want to share two things with you this morning. First of all, it begins with what David Fitch, in his book on the practice of presence, calls the practice of withness. Now, I don't know if that's a word, but he had it in italics in the book as I was reading that, and that really struck me as I was thinking about that. The practice of withness. Now, what does that mean? It's this: the practice of coming alongside those who are hurting, broken, and in need. Jesus describes them like this: the hungry, the thirsty, the unwelcome stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. They are described in our reading today as the least of these. Now, I'm well aware, and if you ever do any kind of serious Bible study, I'm well aware that there's three debates going on, or there's a debate over what the least of these are. And there's three of them, and I'll just throw them out there. Anyone in need is one of the understandings, interpretation there. The other is Christ followers. How the world responds to Christ's followers. And then the other view is how the world and others deal with God's ministers and missionaries, those that take the message out. But I want you to see this morning, I don't think that's the focus of what Jesus is trying to say there. He's wanting us to see something else. Because when we come along such people that are in need, that are hurting, we are following in the steps of our Savior who came alongside us. And the word that is used there is used in Matthew chapter 1. We read it at Advent, especially when Matthew comes around in our Advent reading series, where it says this: they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. He epitomizes everything about God being with humanity when they are hurting and in need. And we read that during Advent as we remember at Christmas time and remember that Jesus came into the world. And I want you to see that we're following in his steps when we do these kind of things. I think I've told the story about there was a knock on the door at 3 a.m. in our house, and I was upstairs in the bedroom. And Mom and Dad were on the main floor. And I remember, like, I was awoken and Dad came to the door. We had no idea who these people were. Their car was just not even a block up our road on 274 up from our house. And the guy had car trouble. And I'll never forget, and as a kid, you know how sometimes there's things that you remember and you never forget them? My dad got dressed and went down and helped this guy, and he made a phone call and everything else. And I've never forgotten that. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about coming alongside and helping those in need. And one of the interesting things is when I went through seminary and we had to take church history, we had to take two classes on church history, is that the early church was known for their mercy care. They were there. In fact, Roman writers, Roman historians in the first century talked about these Christ followers, these Christians, these followers of Christus, who took care of one another and met needs. And the first followers of Christ went out of their way to come alongside and care for the sick and the homeless and the orphans and the widows and those in need. And the early followers believed they were encountering the presence of Christ in those people that they ministered to. You can read it in their writings. In fact, we're told in some places in their writings, it drove their existence. And that's why all through church history, who was it that started the schools? Who was it that helped start homes for people that were in need? Who was it that helped start hospitals and schools and colleges? It was the churches. It was the Christian community. And it begins with the practice of withness. They cared about being with people that were hurting or in need. Why was that? Why did they do that? What was so important? Well, it's this reason. Acts of mercy to Christ. They saw what they were doing, those acts of mercy, those acts of grace, those acts of kindness, when they helped people. They saw that they were doing it to Christ. Jesus said it this way, however we treat the least, we are treating him. I remember the first time I read this passage as a teenager and how it stuck in me and got in me. Jesus explains that those who do acts of mercy and minister to the least are really doing acts of ministry and mercy to him. Many of you know Mother Teresa. This passage of scripture had a powerful impact on her. And she said this, that her work was done in, with, for, and to Jesus. Notice all the prepositions she used. She didn't just see it, I'm doing this for Jesus. She says, I'm doing this with him, I'm doing this for him, and I'm doing this to him and in his power. Think about that for a minute. Why is that? Because they saw it like this, and I think Jesus is implying this, and I'll say something more about that. Christ's presence is hidden with those hurting or in need. Think about that for a minute. You know, sometimes we get this strange idea in our heads at times when we are hurting, when we personally are hurting or in need. We sometimes get the crazy idea in our head, God has abandoned us or left us or forgot us or doesn't care about us. When it's really just the opposite. That is when Christ is with us no matter what is going on. And I think the motivation here is that Jesus wants his followers to be his hands and feet in the world, to extend his grace and his care to meet people's needs and be there for them. Jesus explains that those who do these acts of mercy to the least are really doing those to him. And that's what we see going on here. Acts of mercy and hospitality. And notice in our reading that those, when Jesus set them aside and said, you are blessed and you will inherit the kingdom, they all go, when were we doing that? When were we helping you out, Lord? They were surprised. Did you catch that in our reading this morning? They were surprised at what was going on. And I believe that is true because his presence is hidden in the suffering of the hurting and the needful. Again, Mother Teresa said, we serve Christ in the neighbor. We see him in the poor. We nurse him in the sick. We comfort him in the afflicted ones that we care for. Martin of Tours was a Roman soldier and a Christian. One winter day, a beggar stopped him and asked for alms. Martin didn't have any money on him. But the beggar, he saw the beggar was shivering and parts of his extremities were turning blue. So Martin took off his soldier's coat, cut it in half, and gave part of it to the beggar. That night he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw heaven. And Jesus and the angels were all there in the midst of heaven. And Jesus was wearing half of a Roman soldier's coat. One of the angels says, "Master, why are you wearing that battered old cloak, half of one? Who gave it to you?" And in the dream, Jesus answered, "My servant Martin gave it to me." This passage we read today has provided inspiration for doing works of ministry and mercy for centuries. The way to serve Christ is through serving the least. Christ identifies with the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the naked, the stranger, the prisoner. And when we're present with and ministering to the least, it is a form of ministry and service to Jesus. Now, I know we do this, and many of us practice that right here in our community of faith. We've always tried to be missions-oriented. But let us remember and be encouraged today to continue to be Christ's merciful community in the world. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand together. I didn't do this last Sunday, but we're going to do it today. Take a few moments and greet one another. You can do a few fist bumps, or if you want to do your elbow taps there. If you're fine with shaking hands, that's fine too. I'm not going to worry about it. Let's do that for a moment or so this morning. As we close out, 465, I think I did it the old way and took off the PowerPoint, so you're going to have to turn in your book this morning. It's real simple this morning, though. 465 as we close out this morning. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, my desire to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, my desire, to be. Let's sing it again if you didn't know it. Sing it out now. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, my desire to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, my desire to be like him. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Sisters and brothers, go forth in peace. Go forth with forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. Go forth in God's blessing. Amen. Amen.